We're in Parak Yud Ches, Malachim Beis. So here we go. There's some good stuff about Chizkiah now. We're finally getting to Chizkiah and trying to understand what he was. In the third year, Parak Yud Ches. So we said, yes.
Guess the
name?
Yeah.
In the third year of Hoshea ben Ela's reign, Melech Yisrael, this is the last king of Israel. Melech Hizkiah ben Achaz Melech Yehuda. No, Hakon Ramalia was the first, yeah, right before Hoshea ben Ela. So Melech Hizkiah ben Achaz Melech Yehuda, the king, Hizkiah ben Achaz became the king of Yehuda. So, Ben Esrim Mechamesh Shana Hayyad B'Malcho, he was 25 years old when he became king. The Esrim Mechamesh Shana Melech Yerushalayim, 29 years he reigned in Yerushalayim. Hashem Imo Avi Bas-Zacharia. I don't know how that name made it in, but Avi was the name of his mom. Which is interesting.
Abby's a girl.
Is it?
Apparently.
I'm just saying, have you ever heard Abby as a girl?
Abby is
a
problem.
Abiya is a boy's name. That was Rechavim's son. Abby.
I've heard Abby short for Abigail.
Okay, dude, yes, I understand that. Like, oh, is Abigail a girl's name? I had no idea. But like, Abby, well, what's that from? But Yassi Yosheb and Hashem Kachosher also David Avid. He did what was right in the eyes of Hashem, and look at this. Finally, we have someone like David, his father. Notice that it says his father, obviously Chizkiah, who was, how many, 14 generations down? I believe that was it, right? But we're talking about somebody who was just like it came over here. Now, the third year, that's a great question. We have no idea who Chizkiah learned from when it came to Achaz and
maybe
who it was.
His mother?
Mistama, it was Yeshaya. You have to assume because Yeshaya was old. Yeshaya was the Navi of the time, and he was part of the whole kingdom. Remember, Amots and Amatziah, Yeshaya ben Amots and Amatziah were brothers. So you had an uncle or a great uncle who was part of the kingdom who was a tremendous Navi. You'd assume that Yeshaya had something to do with it. Listen, there were other Nevi'im around. There were other Nevi'im that were around at the time. But we don't know. It also could be that his mother was also involved over here. We don't know who Zachariah was.
Zachariah is not Zachariah Navi.
It could be. It could be. It's probably not the same as Zachariah, but Nunu. What can you do over here? Either way, Chizkiah stands for the word Chazak and Kol, meaning that HaKadosh Baruch Hu strengthened to become the person that he was supposed to be and devoted to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But who knows? We really have no idea with a father like Achaz how Chizkiah became the person that he was. Nonetheless, he was one of the greatest kings in all of Klal Yisrael. It says in Pasuk Dalet, who Aser is a bummels. He finally removed all of the bummels. People were so into the bummels
for years.
Yeah, for years. Everybody tried, but people were so into them, the kings just couldn't get rid of them. He did it. Shivaras Matzevos. He broke down all the Matzevos. Matzevos, remember guys, is a one stone thing that they used to use. They used to cover it with oil and then bring up a korban on that. The Karis Nachshera. Then he cut down Asherah trees. Chitas, now, and remember, that was also a problem because although they had gotten rid of the Baal and the Asheros were still around. Chitas Nachosh and Nachosh Asher also Moshe. Right? And he also crushed the copper snake that Moshe Rabbeinu originally made. Now we haven't. It has never been used. Only now do we see that it eventually became a source of Avodah Zarah. Ki ada yami mahema hayu b'nei Yisrael mekatrim lo. Because until those days, b'nei Yisrael started to worship it. They used to burn incense to it. Vayikra lo nechushtan. And they called it nechushtan. Okay, and that's what they ended up doing over here. Now, we know that until this point, all the kings were blamed for not putting up the bummels. Although it wasn't necessarily their fault, it was the people that were mockered on the bummels. Nonetheless, it is considered their fault for not getting involved over here. It was a complete reversal of what happened by his father Achaz. By Achaz's time, remember, they supplemented all the mizbechos that were in the base of Mikdash and they started using bummels everywhere so they could sacrifice to the Avodah Zarah. At times of Chizkiah, everybody was worshipping on top of only the one mizbech in the Kodesh, in the mizbech itself. Number two, Achaz encouraged actual Avodah Zarah, real Avodah Zarah, bringing in the gods of Ammon and Moab and everything like that. Right? He, Chizkiah, immediately destroyed them completely. The Nachosh Nachoshes was, even though it was just used as a memory of the miracle, maybe like a museum relic, so to speak. Nonetheless, there were people that considered it something chashuv. They started bowing down to it. He got rid of that as well.
Did he get rid of all Avodah Zarah, or just like the...
All Avodah Zarah.
All Avodah Zarah.
So now we have... that's that. Now, there were people that did get rid of Avodah Zarah before him, like Asa, Yehoshaphat, etc. So what happened? It could be that Asa and Yehoshaphat led, there were certain ones that they hadn't destroyed. It could be that it was just the ones that Achaz was able to bring in. It's one of those two over there.
Cycles. I mean, there was no Avodah Zarah, and there was Avodah Zarah.
That's true.
Depending on the king. And
yeah, depending on what happened. It's also possible that some of the Avodah Zarah may have been stuff which was questionably Usher at the time of Asa Yehoshaphat. Maybe it was like something, but not exactly Usher yet. But if became also over time. Either way, that's the idea behind it, what's completely, and that's the idea. We also call it Nachash HaNechoshes to show that it didn't have any real power. It was only made out of copper, and that's that. Pasuk Hey, Bashem Elokei Yisrael Baldach. He trusted HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Akrab Lo Hayakamohu. There was none like him. The Cholmalchi Yehuda and all the kings of Yehuda, even of the kings in front of him, which is amazing. Meaning it makes him, so to speak, the greatest. Now, listen to what, remember we had this question last week about Yosam, where we said that Yosam didn't do any sins. Only Yosam, says in the Amloes, was greater than him when it came to Tahara, and how pure he was. But in everything else, when it came to piety, in other words, his Chassidus, Chizkiyahu was the greatest. I would assume since David, because I can't imagine
Chizkiyahu greater than David. Maybe it means David, because he trusted in God. I remember this was hearing about this a long time ago from our comrades as well, but
that David didn't have bitachon.
No, that like meaning comparing the bitachon of David Melch versus that of Chizkiyah, and the conclusion then was that David was more. But the example used was that how did Chizkiyah go to war? He sat back and said, "God do everything."
Oh, we're going to get to that. Went out to war. You are correct. Okay, that's a good call. That's definitely a Gemara. We're going to see that, right? That it is true. By the way, that Chizkiyah had tremendous bitachon and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that was his greatest attribute. That is 100% true.
Citizen time. I don't understand.
Nisil Kishan, I'm going to make you look it up. Yeah, that's all I'm going to do. That's your Hayu Lefanim, and of those who were before him. So it says, Vayidbak Hashem, but he stuck to God. Lo Somi Akrav, he did not turn away from him. Vayishmor Mitzvot Asher Tziv Hashem is Moshe. He kept all the mitzvot that HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded Moshe completely. He commanded the Levium. I mean, you've got to imagine. I don't know how this must have happened, but think of the beginning of Chizkiyahu's reign. Now, Divrei Hayamim speaks about this a little bit about what happened. But Chizkiyahu starts off this reign. The people are completely in touch with the Avodah Zarah. Everybody's doing Avodah Zarah. Ahaz had done it throughout the land. There were maybe some tzaddikim that were hiding themselves around. But Chizkiyahu gets up and tells Levi immediately, get rid of all the Avodah Zarah. You're working back in the Beis HaMikdash. Bring back the Mishmaros. Let's bring back the Kohanim. Let's start serving the Beis HaMikdash again. Like, everything changed in the times of Chizkiyahu in just a few years. 29 years. So now, here we go. So that's what they ended up doing. And they got around. The Divrei Hayamim speaks about what they brought. They brought Todos and they brought Olas for the first time in years. The Korban Pesach was brought. Then had a Korban Pesach in so long. There were people, he called out people from the other lands before Sennacherib exiled them and after Sennacherib exiled them and told the Jews that were living there, come join us. Come be with us. And remember, Hoshea ben Ela allowed people to come to Yerushalayim. So Chizkiyahu called to them and said, come join us. Some of them listened. Most of them did not. Most of them made fun of Chizkiyahu. But nonetheless, they were willing to do so. He made a 7-day yomtiv after Pesach was completely over. They went out to all the cities of Yehuda after Pesach was over and destroyed all the different Avodah Zarah that was there, as well as they started giving Meiser over to the Beis HaMikdash to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash and everything that was broken by his father Ahaz. Unbelievable what it talks about over there. But that's not even the greatest thing that Chizkiyahu was known for. Chizkiyahu's greatest accomplishment that he was able to do is that when he went from Beis El until Dun. Now remember, this is Shevet Yehuda, but nonetheless we're talking about all of Klal Yisrael. Every Jew in the times of Chizkiyahu was a learned Jew who knew even Tumah v'Tahara, even the little children. He caused everyone to be able to learn. He stuck a sword in the middle of the Beis Medrash, and he said that anybody who doesn't enter the Beis Medrash, anybody who leaves the Beis Medrash, should be stuck by this sword. He made sure that every child was a master of even the most obscure Torah that you could possibly get, even the most difficult areas.
With all due respect, is that a good way of making people learn?
Nowadays, no. Back then, maybe. You'd have to deal with the times. Nowadays, you stick a sword in the front of the Beis Medrash, then people will die. But now, then, maybe it was. Maybe that's what they needed. But either way, Chizkiyahu, the time of Chizkiyahu is when they made Mishlei. Remember, Siyas Chizkiyahu wrote a couple Sfarim. One of them was Mishlei. So they finished Shlomo Melech's Proverbs, right? Put them all together, right? Made it all together. They're the ones that are mentioned then. Definitely not compiled. But Hashem was with him, wherever he went, Yaskil, he became wiser and even more successful. Yimur Melech Ashur, he rebelled against the king of Assyria, below Avado, he refused to serve him. Now that was there. The king of Ashur, remember, was given money by Ahaz. Ahaz gave him a ton of money and a ton of stuff, etc. He now said, I'm not doing this anymore. I'm no longer giving any tribute over to the king of Assyria, the king of Ashur, to Sennacherib. I don't want to give. And then he showed his might by fighting the Plishim all the way until Gaza. That's Bulel, mean Migdal Notzim at Mitzor and all of its borders, from the Migdal, from the tower of the watchmen, all the way to the fortified cities. He took over the Plishim and he showed he's not just just sitting by and allowing things to happen. He's showing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is on his side, showing the king of Assyria that he means business. In the fourth year of Chizkiyahu's reign, the seventh year of Hoshea ben Ela's reign. Okay, now this is the seventh year after Hoshea ben Ela had rebelled against the king Sennacherib. Okay, so this is Hoshea ben Ela's last year. Allah Shalmaneser, Melech Ashur, Shalmaneser, king of Assyria. Remember, we said that Sennacherib had eight names. This is one of his eight names. King of Assyria came up Al Shomron by Yatzar Alan. He sieged it. Now you can do Miktev Shloshan Mishnah Sheish Lachizkiyah. He shnat Tesh Hoshea Melech Yisrael. He captured it at the end of 3 years. So now that was the sixth year of the reign of Chizkiyah, the ninth year of the reign of Hoshea Melech Yisrael. Milkei Shomron. That's when the Shomron was captured. Remember, he sieged it for 3 years. That's what we learned about Hoshea ben Ela before. By Yego Melech Ashur is Yisrael Ashura. At that point, the king of Assyria exiled all the Jews from the kingdom of Yisrael to Assyria. He brought them to four cities, which technically were beautiful cities, but they didn't compare to Eretz Yisrael. Some say that the king of Assyria was smart in saying that, I know you guys don't have lands like Eretz Yisrael, but I'm going to send you to the best lands that I have. Others say he was dumb for doing so, because he should have sent them to as great land as they could, because they wouldn't be able to handle such land after being in a land like Eretz Yisrael. Similar, I guess I can say, to being in a place like, I don't know, where Chicago, where you have, like, you know, filtered water and everything like that, and then all of a sudden you go to India where, like, you know, the water is absolutely disgusting. You just can't handle the land, and the people wouldn't be able to handle it well, and people were dying. But he sent them over to Hashem. But this was not Sennacherib doing what he wanted to do. This is all because they didn't listen to the voice of Hashem, their God. They were over on the Brisas Kosher, Tziva Moshe Eved Hashem, everything that Moshe, the Eved of Hashem, had commanded him to do, Velo Shamu, Velo Asu. They did not listen, nor did they do. And this really is over here. Hoshea ben Ela is over here by Chizkiyah, in the middle of Chizkiyah's reign, not only because it happened in the middle of Chizkiyah's reign, which is obvious, but it's really here to show the difference between Hoshea ben Ela and his generation, and his people, and Melech Yisrael as Melech Yisrael, and Chizkiyah and his people, Malchus Yehuda. And the difference between them is how Chizkiyahu totally dedicated himself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu completely and allowed himself to believe that a miracle would happen, while Hoshea ben Ela either relied on himself or was continuing to do wickedness until he was finally destroyed. That's the idea behind it. Unfortunately, that's ended up happening.
He's often as Chizkiyahu.
I'm sorry, yes, that's the idea behind it. That's what we're putting it over here.
In the next puzzle, where is his Bizachon?
Well, we're going to see. We're going to get up to it right now. Sennacherib had 40,000 princes, the sons of kings, who rode with them out to war. He had 80,000 warriors dressed in armor, 60,000 swordsmen running before him, and the rest of his army were all horsemen. That's what the Gemara in Sanhedrin says in Parchelik. The camp went miles large, and it was huge. The way the Gemara in Sanhedrin says it, it's amazing that when they crossed the river, the first wave of soldiers that went through had to swim through the river. The next wave of soldiers were able to walk through the river, and the next wave of soldiers didn't even see a river. That's how big the army was. Now, obviously, it could be that that's reality and that's what it really was. Maybe it was a smaller river, but it seems to be more of a guzma just to tell us how big his army was. We know it was 185,000 strong that we have from the Pesukim, and according to the Gemara in Sanhedrin, that was nothing in comparison to his actual army, which was millions and millions of people.
But you wouldn't have cities like that.
Not only cities, they didn't have armies like that. You wouldn't be able to.
How do you feed them and give them water? Like, you have a camp of a million people.
It's almost impossible, especially if they walked by rivers and all the river was dried up just from them walking by. You wouldn't have water sources big enough to be able to do that. I don't know. So 185,000, without a question, that's what the pasuk says we're about to see, and that's a huge army, absolutely. Maybe there were other people as well, and maybe it felt like there were millions of people, and that's the idea of what it was. Maybe they were as strong as a million plus army. But the Gemara definitely says that there were millions, if not tens of millions of people in Sennacherib's army, which is unbelievable, literally unbelievable. Now here it says, the 14th year of the king of Chizkiyah, the Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, went ahead and he, on all the siege cities, and he captured them. So Chizkiyah sent to the king of Assyria to Lachish, saying, shuv me'alai, I've sinned. Right, go away from me. It's shartitir lai esau. Whatever you tell me to do, I'll do, money-wise. He told them to give 300 kikar of kesef and 30 kikar of zav, of gold. He gave everything that was left over, all the treasury, trees left. At that point, Hizkiah had to cut down the doors of the Heichal of Hashem, as well as the Omnos. The Omnos were the lintels that Hizkiah, the king of Yehuda, had placed down there. He gave them over to the king of Ashur. Now, here's the deal. Hizkiah Melech Yehuda was worried that he would join a war. Now, what he's worried about is not what you'd think. He wasn't worried about defeat, because he did believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was with him. The problem was, he never got a Nebuah. And without a Nebuah, he wasn't willing to risk B'nai Yisrael's life. Because no Nebuah was forthcoming from Yeshaya, from anybody else. He waited for a Nebuah, and when no Nebuah came, he said, alright, I don't have a choice. I'm going to have to do something in order to save B'nai Yisrael's life. He could have fought. He could have put his trust in God, but he didn't do that. It's a different type of trust. It's a trust in the Nevi'im that if I really was supposed to fight them, a Nevi would have came up to me and said, go fight them. Instead, I'm going to do the natural way of things, and I'm going to do it in a golden way. No. That's it. His trust was so great. It's a different type of bitachon than what we have. His bitachon was not, I'm going to go to the Nevi'im to find out what they have to say to me. It's that his trust was so great that if God wants me to be able to fight them, he'll tell me and I'll know. It's a different type of bitachon altogether.
It makes sense, because I'm assuming his army was very small.
Extremely. And Rav Sheik is going to say that, yeah.
And he had really had, I mean, it's just foolish to go to war against the biggest army in the world.
Which was sieging, and had already exiled his brothers up north. He didn't know. Look, you have to think of it in terms of, Hizkiah thought this is the end of everything. He thought this was Gullus Bavel right now, when it was being Gullus Ashur instead of Gullus Bavel, changing the face of all history. He literally thought that everything was going to be totally different. What are you going to say, Eddie?
How did he know that maybe it was the opposite, that he would have had to go to war and Nevi would have told him otherwise?
Yeah. Is the reason why. You go to war, there's a possible death involved. You give up money, although you're giving up money for the base of Mikdash, and we know later on that this was a sin. He should have gone to a Navi before giving up the money. That he should have done. Nonetheless, he chose money over life. And I think most people would have done that. Most people would do such a thing, but that's the idea behind it. He also did natural things that would cause Sennacherib to go away from him. He sealed up the Megichon. That although all the Sanhedrin disagreed with him on this one, and they said, that's not the right thing to do. Nonetheless, he felt that one of the things he could do is cut off the water supply. There would be enough water for the people in Yerushalayim to be able to live off of, but the people in Sennacherib's army would need a massive water supply, even if it was just 185,000 people. They would need a huge water supply for it to be able to, for them to be
why
able to survive.
Why was Sanhedrin against it?
I'm sorry?
Why was Sanhedrin against it?
Sanhedrin felt that wasn't the way to fight this war. It wasn't to be able to do preventive measures. I don't know. But the Gemara does say in Pesachim that they were against Sanhedrin, one of the three things that they were disagreeing with him on, and that's that. He did raise up the walls and he did other things over here, but that's the idea. Now, Ayishach Melech Ashur is Tartan Ves Rav Saris Ves Rav Sheka Nim Lachash Al Melech Hizkiyahu. Now, after he had taken all the gold, the king of Israel sent Tartan. Rav Saris was his name. That's not the head of the eunuchs. He was the name. And Rav Shokei from Lachish to the king Hizkiyah. The Chel Kaved Yerushalayim with a huge army toward Yerushalayim. By Yalav Yavo Yerushalayim, they went up. They came and they stood by Yerushalayim. By Yalav Yavo Ve'amdu B'Solas Abrecha, they went up again, even further up, and they stood by the channel, right, of the pools. Al Yonash or Bensil Stechove. So it was right by the field of the washers, right over there. Some say they came at different times. Some say differently. But regardless, they came, right. They came with these people. Now, who is Rav Sheka? Rav Sheka. Rav Sheka was a Jew who went off the Derech. There are midrashim that say that he's related to Hizkiah, right? That he's related to Hizkiah. Whether brother, son, etc. It's going to be a little bit of a question, but nonetheless, there are those that say that he was related to Hizkiah, that he's around there. Regardless, Rav Sheka did come in, and since he was Jewish, but off, he was the one who demanded that they surrender. So to speak, speaking their language and telling them, here's what we want. That's the idea of Yigru al HaMelech. They called it the Gemara Yetzei Lehem al Yochim ben Chokiyah Asher al Abayis v'Shevna Asofer v'Yoch ben Asaf HaMazkir. So those that came out to him were the following three. There was Yochim ben Hizkiyahu.
Can I get you just 5 minutes after?
Yeah. But Yochim ben Chilkiyahu, who was in charge of the house, Shevna HaSofer, Shevna we're going to talk about quite a bit. Shevna was a tremendous Talmud Chacham and an unbelievable tzaddik, as well as Yoach, son of Asaph, the secretary. Those are the three people who he brought out to him. By Yomar Alayim Rav Shokei, Imran El Chizkiyahu, I want you to go tell Chizkiyahu. Now, where was Chizkiyahu? So according to those who say that Chizkiyahu got sick and was dying, some say this happened right now. The that Chizkiyahu was dying, and that's why he sent other people in this place to go out and meet them, because he himself couldn't handle it. He was too sick to be able to go out. Others say that that happened later on, that he got sick afterward. Those that say that he got sick afterward was Chizkiyahu did not feel it according to, on his level, since Sennacherib didn't come. It was those guys over there, so he sent his own messengers. He didn't go himself.
In your opinion, it says that he got sick before. Because if Rav Shakeh is his son, it must be at the end of his life.
Ooh, that's a good call. If it's his son, yeah, that would be a good call. But Yom HaLeim Rav Shakeh.
Nowadays, in political systems, if the Secretary of State goes out, usually the first person greets
the other person.
Minister,
yeah, do something like that. It makes sense. But Yom HaLeim Rav Shakeh, Imun El Chizkiyahu, I want you to go tell Chizkiyahu. Kol Amar HaMelech HaGadol Melech HaShur. Here's what the great king of Assyria says. Ma Bitachon HaZeh Shabbatalka. What are you relying upon? In other words, what's your Bitachon? Chizkiyahu, what's your bitachon on? Amar to Akhtvar Svastayim Eitzu Gvua Lemochama, right? You say, right, I guess, you spoke, but it was just words of the lips. Eitzu Gvura, advice and might that you were going to go fight war. Atal Mibatachka, Kimarat Tabi. Who are you relying on that you're willing to rebel against me? Who is it exactly? Atal Batachta Lecha, right now, and who are you relying upon? Al Mishenes Akana Ratu Tazeh. Are you relying on the broken reed that's standing on Mitzrayim? Do you really think people can rely on him? Right? If you think so, right, it's going to go into his hands. The reed, once it hits your hands, is going to pierce it. You think Mitzrayim is on your side? You take Mitzrayim on your side and you rely on them, they're eventually going to come after you and they're going to take away your stuff. So Mitzrayim is not the people to be able to go. That's what Paro does to all those who trusted that he would help them. And if you tell me, oh, we trust our God, isn't that the one that Chizkiyahu turned away all the bamos and mizbechos all the way to God? And he told everybody, everybody should come to the mizbech and bow down to Yerushalayim. He said, Rav na es Adoni es Melech Ashur. You should make a deal with my master, the king of Ashur. He doesn't even mention HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's sort of like, you really think there's something to rely upon when it comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? You really think that's possible? He said, I want you to make a deal with my master, the king of Assyria. And the call Paim Susan. I will give you 2,000 horses and Tukla says called Rokbim Alayhem. That's where it's Kilu like Rav Shakeh is saying, like, I want to make it a fair fight. I'll give you 2,000 horses. Do you have enough riders to be able to ride on 2,000 horses? And then maybe you can fight against us and let's see what we can do. How would you be able to face even the smallest of the vassals of one of my master, one of the people that would be in charge, right? But Tiftach Lakom, it's trying to rack of a Russian. Are you really relying, right, on Mitzrayim for all of your chariots and your horses and whatever? Right? Do you think it's not within Hashem's power to allow me to come in this place and destroy it? So to speak, Rav Shakeh is saying, God is on my side. So you don't think Hashem wants me to come and destroy this place? Hashem Marilai. Hashem told me, go up to the land and destroy it. Obviously being a false prophet, that obviously didn't happen, but that's the idea behind it, and that's the idea that was over there. Now, we don't know exactly where Rav Shakeh came from. You're right, Binyamin, that it's possible that it was related to Chizkiyahu, or his son, or his brother, etc. Nonetheless, it's definite that he was a Jew. It could be that he was from one of the tribes up above that was just in exile, and he became an apostate, a traitor to his people, and went up against all Bnei Yisrael. But he did not understand Chizkiyahu at all. Because he was from the other areas, and whatever it was, he thought that Chizkiyahu was relying on Mitzrayim, right, really Mitzrayim, and saying, Hashem will help us rely on Mitzrayim. Sort of like the idea of let's rely on America, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help us rely on America. He thought that was the deal. And to that, he said to Chizkiyahu, you're a fool, because Mitzrayim's not going to help you, and Hashem doesn't really care. To that, Chizkiyahu was going to stay back. He didn't. He's going to stay back. I don't rely on any of those guys. I rely on HaKadosh Baruch Hu alone. That's the only thing that we have. I have no trust in Egypt. And Rav Shakeh was right about that. Egypt was not an ally. There's nothing like that. And Rav Shakeh's goal was really to tell everybody, don't think what Chizkiyahu is telling you is true. Chizkiyahu is telling you, oh, we have power, we have Hashem on our side, we have Mitzrayim on our side just in case, and everything like that. He's telling them, people, don't fight us. You're not going to win. You're just going to die. Just surrender without a fight. He hoped that everybody was going to be so frightened they'd open up the gates and everything was going to be perfectly fine. And you think that tefillah and your Hasidus is going to work? No. That's not the answer. That's not going to help whatsoever. Aside from that, he said, Yeshaya already prophesied that the king of Ashur is going to come along. And if the king of Ashur is supposed to come along, he thought it was on all of Bnei Yisrael. And really, it was only on Malchus Yisrael. He said, you already have a nevuah that you're going to be destroyed by the king of Ashur. So you might as well give in now. And that's that. Pasuk Chav Vav. Now, here's an interesting little pasuk. This is interesting. Birmel Yakim ben Chilkio, Shevna and Yoach al Rav Shokei. They said it with Rav Shokei, Daber na'al avadecha aramis. Please speak in Aramean. Because we can understand that language. Don't speak Hebrew in the ears of the people, because they're on the wall, they're listening in, we don't want other people listening in. Now that was a mistake. It said over, right, there's no reason for you to speak to us, right, in that language. Don't speak to us in Aramaic because we don't want, we'll speak to us in Aramaic, I'm sorry, because the people won't understand, and that way they won't be disheartened by what Rav Shakeh was saying. But that was Rav Shakeh's whole plan. Rav Shakeh's whole plan was to get the people to hear it, and that's why he specifically spoke in Hebrew more than anything else. They were trying to say, they were trying to persuade him to try to go another language, but he understood entirely what they were trying to do. He understood entirely what they were trying to say. Like, Yomar Aleim Rav Shakeh, and Rav Shakeh said to them, this is a Pasuk of Zion, Ha'awa Denechave, Lecha Shulachani Abini, do you think my master sent me to you and your master, to Chizkiyahu, Lidabaris Advarna Ila, to speak these words? How all Anashim Ayoshim Alakoma Lachos so awesome, Belishos says, Meimir Aglayim Imachem. Is it not that I'm supposed to speak to the people who are with you who are eating their own excrement and drinking their own urine? In other words, there's no food left in Yerushalayim after the seeds that we're going to make on you. It's those people who we're speaking to. Those are the people that we want to be convinced, right, that they're the ones who have to go up against. So Pasuk Chas, Vayamud Rav Shakeh, Vayikra B'kol Gadol Yehudis. So Rav Shakeh got up. He spoke out in a loud Jewish voice. Vayidaber, he spoke. Vayomer, Shimu Dvar HaMelech HaGadol. Melech Ashur. Listen to the words of the great king, the king of Assyria. Komar Melech, Al Yashi Lechem Chizkiyo. Do not let Chizkiyo persuade you. Kilo Yichol Lahatzol Eschem Yehudah, because there is no way that Chizkiyo can save you from his hand. Al Yashach Eschem Chizkiyo El Hashem Lemor. Do not let Chizkiyo trust in God, or let you guys trust in God, saying, that God will save us, and this city will not be given over to the hands of the king of Ashur. Do not listen to Chizkiyah. Here's what the king of Assyria says. Do me a favor. Come out to me. And then each man will eat of his grapevine. Each man of their figs. And each man will eat of their drink of their pit. Right? If you come out, then I'll let you stay here. Now we all know that was a lie. So here, exiled everybody. He did not let people go, even if they gave in to him. When you come back, then maybe I'll take you to the land that's just like your land. Eretz Dagon V'Tirosh, a land that's filled with grain and wine. Eretz Lechem U'Kramim, where there's bread and vineyards. Eretz Deis Yitzor U'Devash, where there's olives and wine and oil and honey. V'chiyu V'lo Simus, you'll live, you won't die. Now, Tishmol Chizkiyo, don't listen to Chizkiyo, Ki Yatzis Eschem Lemar Hashem Yitzelenu. He's seducing you by saying that Hashem will save us, and he's wrong. Did any of the other gods of any of the other nations, did they save their people from the hands of the king of Assyria? Where is the god of Hamas? V'arpad. Hena, the evil. What about all those people? Did they save the Shomron from my hands? If all the other gods couldn't save their nations from my hands, do you think your God is going to be able to save Yerushalayim from your hands? Now that was 100%. That was speaking out against the Chachmah. Once he had done that, the people immediately had to tear their clothing. That's the idea behind it, and that's what it was. Immediately says, Bacharishu on the people were silent. Lo anu osadavar, they would not answer. I think he mitzvah melechi lemor lo sanu. The king commanded them, saying, nobody answer. And nobody answered. They all came with torn clothing. Torn clothing because they heard that they had cursed out God, saying that God has no ability to save them. Said that. They told him over the words of Rav Shakeh. By the way, that does tell you that Rav Shakeh had to be a Jew. You are not required to tear your clothing when a goy goes out and says something which is a bad word. You are required to tear your clothing when a Jew curses out God. You are required to do it then and only then. Therefore, because of what he had done then, we know that that's what ended up happening over here.
Speaks Hebrew. I mean, who else speaks Hebrew?
I'm sure there were people that spoke Hebrew. It was a major nation for many, many years.
Yeah, but I'm sure it's more rare. I mean, nowadays, I know that people who manage to live in Israel who speaks Hebrew.
So remember, I mean, the Israeli government, especially those who lived in Malchus Yisrael, Israel is a powerful, powerful nation for years. Within the last 20 years.
20 years?
Well, let's go through it. Here, it was the last. We don't know what Pekah Ben Ramalia was like. That was was 20 years old together.
Yeah, he couldn't have been that powerful because they went from that to nothing. And
yeah, Shea was 19 years, 20 years. Well, no, Shea ben Elah was pretty good also. Remember, he did take the siege of Sennacherib, and he rebelled against him for 7 years and then 3 years. So that was pretty impressive. So either way, yeah, you're right. It was a long time from Yehu's kingdom. Nonetheless, Yehu, I would say from Zechariah, the people that were around there, they were still powerful. It could be that people didn't know it. I wouldn't say that much. It could be out there. Where were they going to go? Where were they supposed to go? Some say they were supposed to go to northern Africa. I don't know why they would choose northern Africa. There's no land there that I would think would be filled with fruits and vegetables and everything like that. And maybe Mitzrayim. That would be weird, though, because they hadn't captured Mitzrayim. Sennacherib did not own Mitzrayim yet. Yeah, but he wouldn't have taken them or promised them a place before they go. So that's weird. Yeah, but yeah.
Isn't there a lot of vegetation
here, though? Where? Egypt?
I'm saying
the middle Africa, yeah. But northern Africa is the Sahara Desert. And then you get to Morocco, Tunisia, where it's, you know, a desert climate. You know, it's not there. If you go down a little bit, yeah. But northern Africa is a little bit weird. Others say it's the mountains of Sluq. I don't know where that is. I would assume it's near Turkey. But I'm not positive where Sluq is altogether. That's that. Why would he move them around? It made sense. It made a lot of sense to be able to do such a thing. The point of moving them around was to make them feel like they were uncomfortable in their own land. And that way, Sennacherib wouldn't have to ask much of the people. The people would feel, you know, like knocked down. They'd feel like they wouldn't be able to move.
And then they'd all assimilate with one another, and they'd all be
part of the Sennacherib, you know,
but
powers
maybe,
and everything like that.
Where's the uses for the land he's sending them to?
Wait, to a land that's better than yours, I believe. What's the word? Asiti bracha. It says El Eretz Ka'artzechem. Eretz Dagan Mitzirosh, etc.
Yeah,
stuff like that.
That's similar to the words the Jews use in the Midbar about going to Mitzrayim. Eretz, they had land, they had, you know, all these different,
yeah, all the different things. No question. Yeah,
and the Torah even says,
it's still weird that it would be that way. Either way, it does say northern Africa. So I do give him this. As a side note, Sennacherib failed miserably. Not only because his army was destroyed over here, but we do see that Persia immediately took over the kingdom. Persia and Babel immediately took over after Assyria. Remember, not so much longer until Bnei Yisrael had Gullus Babel. So as strong as Ashur was at this moment, very, very soon the entire kingdom of Assyria was going to topple, which is an amazing thing how quick it ended up happening. And that's what it says over here. Okay, that's that. So we just went through all of those things. We're done with Perek Yitzchak. Perek Yitzchak, everybody. Pasuk Aleph. When Chizkio heard what had happened, he wore Dan sackcloth, and he came in to the base of Mikdash. Now, why did he tear his clothes? Number one, because he heard the curse words from Rav Shokei, right? And since he heard that. Number two, to evoke Hashem's mercy. He wanted Rachman from HaKadosh Baruch Hu for what was happening right now. He sent El Yakim, who was in charge of the house, to Shevna HaSofer, as well as Shevna HaSofer, and the elders of the Kohanim, Miskasim Vesakim. Al Yeshayahu Anavi ben Amos. Now he sent them wearing sackcloth over to Yeshayahu ben Amos. Okay, so he sent them over there. They said to him, this is what Chizkio says, Yom Tzar V'Sochecha. It is a day of pain, a day of muster, hayom, as well as disgrace on this day. Because the children are ready to be born, but there's no way that we can give birth. It's like we're literally sitting at the threshold of being destroyed. Okay. Maybe God heard the words of Rav Shokei Asher Shlacho Melech Ashur Adonav Lecharef Elokim Chai. Maybe God heard the words of Rav Shokei, who the king of Assyria had sent to curse out the living God, right, and insulted, I guess, and disproved the words that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had said, right. So now is a good time to daven for the rest of Bnei Yisrael. If there ever was a time to daven to save Bnei Yisrael, this was it. Because now when Rav Shokei is vulnerable because he had said such curse words in the name of Sennacherib, now is the time to be able to teshuva, now is the time to be able to fight. Up until this point, we didn't think that we'd have the power. But now we see that they're relying on the Avodah Zarah, and we believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, maybe it's time. Now, Shevna disagreed. Shevna was a greater Talmud Chacham than Chizkiyahu HaMelech. Chizkiyahu HaMelech was a Rebbe of 110,000 people. Shevna was a Rebbe of 130,000 people. He took his 130,000 followers, took all of them, and he grabbed them and he brought them out so that they could all go out together and make peace with Sennacherib. But he was a wicked person. Yeshaya ben Amoz came over to Chizkiyahu at this time and said, God is not with Shebna. God is with you, and you're doing the right thing. When Shebna saw that Chizkiyahu was not yielding to the majority, because Hashem said, even though normally Rove wins, but Rove of Rishayim don't win, at that point...
It doesn't matter what the Rove wants right now.
I'm sorry?
He's the king. It doesn't matter what the Rove wants.
See, it's interesting, because it could have been a Psak Halacha at this point. That is a good call, though, that Chizkiyahu was a Melech Yehuda, so he should have been able to make the decision no matter what. Nonetheless, Shebna felt that he could make the decision, and he went the other way. So secretly, he sent a message over to Sennacherib that says, Shebna and his followers are on Sennacherib's side. He shot it through an arrow over the wall and went over to them. The next day, he gathered up all of his followers. They broke through the gate. He opened up the gate, and Shebna led his people through. As soon as he walked out of the gates, Gavriel the Malach closed up the gates behind him, that all the people were left inside and nobody could open up the doors, and Shebna was left outside there. Shebna came over to the Assyrians and they said to him, where's all the followers that you promised us? So Shebna said, they must have backed out. He said, what is this, a joke? So they pierced his feet, they tied horse tails to his feet and dragged him all over the ground until he died. Unbelievable, right? Others say he was taken prisoner and killed in jail, but nonetheless, he died eventually from this over here. Pasuk Hey. Now go out there, Melech Chizkiyahu Yeshaya. The servants of the king Chizkiyahu, the king of Yeshaya, the Yomer Lahem Yeshayahu. Yeshayahu said to the Kosom and Adonai, this is what you say to your master, Kol Ma'ashem, this is what God says. I don't want you to be worried about any of the words that the king of Assyria cursed me about. He knows him, Ruach, I gave him a spirit. He heard news. He's hearing news. He's going to go back to his land and he will die in his land. Now, it's funny, because that wasn't exactly the order. At this moment, Sennacherib heard that there were people that were rebelling against him in Cush, and he was going to go against Cush. Then he would come back to Eretz Yisrael to fight them again. That's when the crazy miracle happened and all of his people died, and that's when he went back to Ashur, and then he died in Ashur and was killed by his own children. That's what happened. So it wasn't exactly as the way that Yeshaya put it over here.
Sennacherib, even now, then come back.
Yeah, we're going to see what happens over here, but that's exactly what happened.
Take him to get the Cush with his 185,000 men.
I would assume he left some people there. He just went to go squash the rebellion in Cush and then came back. But yeah, probably took years.
They probably didn't know that they left there.
What?
I mean, the soldiers that he left there, they probably didn't know about him.
It was so far back. Right, they heard like 3 days later, oh, he's gone? I had no idea. Either way, they were given right now a temporary respite, and it was a Ruach. Remember how that Ruach Navos convinced Achav? It's the same type of a Ruach where he just had a feeling. He couldn't just say it and said, I'll deal with Cush later. But he had a feeling he had to go right now. He had to go right now to Cush. And that's what he ended up doing over here, impulsively. Yes, 100% that's what's going to happen over here. So technically, those were the ideas. But Yashav Rav Shakei, Vayim Tzaz Melech Ashur Nyokom Al Livna, Kisham Kinasim Yilachish. Rav Shakei went back to the camp, and all of a sudden he saw that the king of Assyria wasn't there. He went back after telling over the people that Sennacherib is going to kill you, Sennacherib is going to kill you, Sennacherib is going to kill you. He goes back to the camp, and he sees Sennacherib left. And he couldn't understand it. He was waiting war against Libna because he had heard that he had traveled from Malkush. Vayishmael Tirhaka, Malakush, Lamor, and he heard about Tirhaka, the king of Cush, saying, he's going to wage war against Yashav, Vayishmael, Malakush, Chizkiyahu, Lamor. He sent other messengers to Chizkiyahu saying, go say to Chizkiyahu, Malakuta, Lamor, Al Shiach Elokecho, Asher Tabodefo. Don't let your God convince you that you trust him. Lamor, Lotin, Asher Shalim, Yah Malak Ashur. Yushalim won't be given over to the hands of Ashur. This is just a small little thing, all right? Said Rav Shakei, he's just king of Assyria is just going somewhere to destroy another land, and then he's coming back to kill you. So in other words, Rav Shakei was a little bit embarrassed. You know, he had just said Sennacherib is going to kill you, Sennacherib is going to kill you, Sennacherib is going to kill you. Then he comes back, there is no Sennacherib. He's like, oh yeah, well don't worry, I'm sure he's going to come back. That's what he did. You know what the king of Assyria already did to all the other lands, and destroyed the Vasa Tinazel. You think you're really going to be safe? Did all the other gods of those nations save those other places? Where are all those other kings? Where do you think they are? Don't think that your tefillah actually worked. Okay? It may have given you a little bit of a temporary respite, but it's not going to be any more than that. Shemher is coming back, and he's still going to destroy you. That's amazing. How Rav Shakeh clearly saw that he went up and told them, he cursed out God, said that you have no help whatsoever, Shemher is about to kill you, and he sees that Shemher is left. But the only thing that could have possibly happened was Shemher just didn't care whatsoever. Rav Shakeh should have taken a hint, yet he did not take this hint at all. Pasuk Yudal, Meikas Haskiyo is a sparin. Miyad Malachim, he took those letters from the messengers, by Yikra'im, he read them, by Yalbeit Hashem, and he went to the base of Mikdash, by Yifraseo Haskiyo Lifnei Hashem, and he spread out his hands in front of Hashem, thanking God for saving him. By Yisbalo Haskiyo Lifnei Hashem, by Yomar, he davened to Hashem, and he said, Hashem Elokei Yisrael, Yoshev Akru Matohu Elokim. I don't know why God is called Yoshev Akru. Now I understand that the voice of HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to them through the Kruven. And that's the obvious answer. But why call him that here? Do we see that as a normal way of calling out a Kodesh Baruch?
Praying at the base of Midrash?
It seems that way.
Yeah, sure.
So
yeah.
Maybe he was
the Kodesh, maybe.
With the Yamanah.
Because it was near the base of Midrash?
Yeah, it's like he's right in front of the crew him almost. And he's like,
it's funny. So let me ask you, do we ever, is that only because of the base of Midrash? Do we ever say Yoshev HaKruv in any of our tefillos? Maybe I'm wrong about it. Maybe there is a tefillah where we say we call him Yoshev HaKruv, and I'm thinking like Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. You know what I'm saying? Like, do we ever call him that? It's just an interesting call. Alright, anyway. Atu Elohim Levadecha Levadcha, you are the only God. L'chol Mamlacha, yeah, for sure. I've been able to be the only one to know. L'chol Mamlacha Z'aretz Atah, Tzitzah Shemayim Z'aretz. You are the king of all the kings of the land, right? You made the heavens and the earth. Hak Hashem Azachol Shemap Kach Hashem Einecho Re'eu Shemaz Divrit Zemcher Shoshol Kol Afarka Elohim Kai. Listen to what Zemcher said. All the curses that he said. Amnam Hashem Acharivu Malchi Ashur the Goyim Esar Tzom. Hashem, you should destroy the king of Assyria, the Goyim and all of their lands. Put their gods in fire. They're not gods. They're the handiwork of man, stone and wood, and you should destroy them. Save us from his hands. And then everybody will know that you are the only God out there. That's a nice little tefillah. Says in Pasuk Chaf, by Yishlach Yishayu ben Amotzel Chizkiyo Lemar, Kol Hashem Elokei Yisrael Shizpalalte Elayos Nacher Melech Ashur Shamati. The tefillah, said Yishayu to Chizkiyo, the tefillah that you said to Chizkiyo about Sanherib, the king of Assyria, I heard it. Zad Devor Asher Dibra Hashem Alav Bazo Lecha La'aga Lecha B'sulas Pasiyon. Okay, so he said, this is what Hashem said about him. She's going to disgrace you. She's going to mock you. B'sula the Pasiyon. Acharecha Rosh Heimiya. After you shake her head, right? Bas Yerushalayim. After you shake her head, Acharecha Rosh Heimiya Bas Yerushalayim. After you, will they shake their head at the daughter of Yerushalayim, meaning the people live there. As Michei Rafti Vigirafto, who did you insult? Who did you go up against? Amiri Moshe Kol, who did you lift up your voice against? Batsisa Maromi Nech, and put up your eyes. Akirsha on the Holy One of Israel. Biad Malachecha Chei Rafta Adoni Adonoi. In the hands of your messengers, right? You have degraded Hashem. Batomer Barov Rechbi Ani Alisi Marom Marom. With all my chariots, I can all the way go up to the heavens, as if he can fight up against God. Harim Yarkisei Levanon, by the mountains, right? By the edge of the Lebanon, the Ephros Komas, hold on one second, the Ephros Komas are a dove, and I'll cut down all of its cedar woods, Mipchor Broshav, the best of the cypress trees, Vavon Malon Kitzo, Yarkiam Carmelo, and go all the way to the best of the forests that are out there of the Carmel. And he Karti Vishasizi Mayim Zarin, I have dug and I have drunk many waters from many lands, Vachru Bekapa Mai, Kol Yerim Atzor, and I have destroyed all the mighty areas that are out there. And that's what he ended up saying. He goes through about what that's referring to. It is all in reference to what Sennacherib was going to do before he died. He was going to take over Mitzrayim altogether, right? And even that amount, even the little bit of mockery that he does, it means nothing to me. Before I'm just going to finish Yishayah's tefillah. Pasuk Kafei, Halos Shamata Lemerachok Osa Sisi Lemeimei Kedem. Haven't you heard from long ago what I've done Lemeimei Kedem all the way from the days of yore? Bitarti Atal Havesia. I formed it. I brought it about Batilash Host Galim. I allowed for, I destroyed lots of places, Nitzim, Arim Bitsuros, as well as fortified cities. And they were going to be filled with, I guess, mounds. Yoshvan Kitzre Yod Chatu. The people that lived there, the people that were short of hand, in other words, didn't have the ability to fight, I cut them down by Yevoshua, and they it withered. How you ace him said there were like grass of the land of the fields, the rakdesha and vegetables and herbs, chatzir gagos, grass on the roofs of shtefa lepekama, chased around or blown away in front of the stalks. The shift of its volaka, your going and coming, instead of Yadati, I know it. That's his ragezko alai, as well as your anger about me. Yani's ragezko alai, because you were so angry at me, vishananko, right, because you were silent. All of us now, it came up in my ears, vishamti achachi ba'apecha, I put my thorn in your wrath. Omiski disfaseka, vashivosi, vadarach asher basabba. I took everything down, and that's what's going to happen to Sanherib, that they were going to die in the next Shemitah cycle. When exactly, we're going to see, but that was that. Then, one more part, the Yosva Plates Beis Yehuda Nishara Shorish Lamata, they will have a little root that goes down below, the Asapri Lamala, and there will be fruit above. Yerushalayim Tetzeh Sherit Plates Mehar Tzion, Kines Hashem Tazazos, and that's the zeal of Hashem that's going to cause this to happen. L'chein Kol Hashem HaMelech Ashur, therefore the Hashem says the king of Assyria, Lo Yavol Yerushalayim, you will never come into the city of Yerushalayim, Lo Yorisham Chet, you will never even shoot an arrow into Yerushalayim, Lo Yikad Menem Magin, there will be no shield that goes up against you, Lo Yishvach Lat Solulah, there will be no mounds that are put upon it in order to climb up the walls. But Derech Asher Yavo Ba Yashuv, the road you came from, that's how you're going to return. Ela Ira Zos Lo Yavo Nu Hashem, you will never come into the city of Yerushalayim again. Osi Ela Ira Zos Lo Shia Lamani Laman David Abdi, and I will go ahead and protect the city and save it for my sake and for the sake of David HaMelech itself, for the sake of my, you know, HaKadosh Baruch himself, for David and for Chizkiah, obviously. That's that.
Okay,
that's the idea of what's happening over here. What were you going to show me? Where's Yosef HaKruvin?
Where is it?
HaKruvin,
where is that? I'm sorry?
Third line of
third one. Yosef HaKruvin Mofiyah. That's awesome. So we do have a tefillah like that.
There's another one.
Shmuel Aleph. But is it in our Machzor at all?
I don't know.
Yosef HaKruvin. Wow. Unbelievable. Okay. That's your encyclopedic knowledge, right? That's not from anything that you could possibly get on. Yeah, I figured. Okay.
Where did you get that from? What app do you have?
I don't have an app. I just googled the word Yosef HaKruvin.
No way. You really did that. Beautiful. Beautiful. Of course, I don't condone internet, but nonetheless, unbelievable. Especially in the base metric. I'm just saying. But that nonetheless. Stuffin is very happy right now. He's happy. It's all he is. All right, let's go.
Awesome.
There is one little thing. God is happy in a different way. God can't be sad. Pasuk Lamed Hey, before we get to Lamed Hey, there is an amazing thing that happened. Sanherib did come back after fighting against the king of Cush, after going against Mitzrayim, after doing everything he was doing. He did come back. Okay, he sat outside Yerushalayim. When he came back to Yerushalayim, he was the Gemara in Sanhedrin. He came to the city of Yerushalayim, and his officers told him that even though they were 10 days away from going to Yerushalayim, they said, if you fight today, you'll be able to defeat Yerushalayim. So they hurried. They had Kfitzus HaDerech, and they got there on that day. When they got there that day, right before sunset, the officer said to him, Rav Shoke said to him, fight them right now. If you fight them today, you'll be able to defeat them. Why? Because up until now, the sin of Nov Ira Kohanim still needs a kafara. But if you wait another day, Nov Ira Kohanim's sin will be gone. The Jews will have done tshuva for it, and it'll be too late to fight Eretz Yisrael. So fight right now. Fight against Yerushalayim right now, or else you'll never be able to defeat them. So Sanherib went up, and he looked at the walls of Yerushalayim. They brought him pillows. He said he was sitting above the walls of Yerushalayim. And he said, this is Yerushalayim? I fought cities that were hundreds of times bigger than this. There's no reason for me to have to fight today. I'm tired. Forget it. And he waved his hand on Yerushalayim. I said, I'm not fighting against Yerushalayim. And that's what they ended up saying. They begged him to go anyway, to fight anyway. Sanherib said, absolutely not. We're resting. We'll fight against them tomorrow. And that night, Pasuk Lamed Hey, Vayihi Balayla Hahu. It wasn't that night. What night was it?
Oh.
No, not for a night.
Yeah. I found it in
the other time.
Hanukkah?
No, come on, think. When do we say? In the middle of the night.
Pesach
night. We even say it. Vayihi Bachat Yalayla. We mentioned Sanherib was destroyed in the middle of the night. Yeah, what's up?
Tomorrow in the morning starts Slichot.
Yeah.
Slichot, it says.
Oh, for Sardin.
Yeah. Yonat Sasha Rabbit said, yeah, Yosef HaKeruvim Ophia.
Very good. We're going to look for that. Let's look for Yosef HaKeruvim. Let's see if it does appear.
But we say it every single day because we're holier. But you guys only say it during Megillah.
You need it more.
Personally, maybe yes. But I'm saying as a whole.
No, no, no. I'm saying as a whole. As a whole, that's what ends up happening. You guys say, yeah, okay, I'm not going to go into it. We're not going Ashkenazi Sephardi all yeah, together right now.
Tell me if you recognize this prayer. This is from a page in, I think this is Megillah Yom Kippur.
Megillah Yom Kippur. Oh, it's like, you know what it is? It's like one of those, you know, the small print right before the Kel Melech.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the Kel Melech. You all say it. We all say that. Right? Megillah, we say all of them. So it's right there. So we have to look for it. That's cool, actually. All right, anyway, let's go. Pasuk Lamed. And that night, Vayitzeh Malach Hashem. The Malach of Hashem went out. Vayachal Machne Shor Mea Ushmonin Mechamisha Elis. 185,000 men. All 185,000 men were killed on that night by the Malach. They got up in the morning and they were all dead. Corpses all over. Okay, I want you to think for a second. 185,000 people died outside the city of Yerushalayim. Okay? And Pesach, which means springtime in Yerushalayim, which is hot. How in the world did they bury those bodies? And if they didn't, that smell is horrendous.
Bulldozers and cranes, so they could make mass graves.
Mom's no idea. Because they had to bury them. Unless somehow they just gathered the bodies together, threw them in one massive pile, and then burned them. Because what are you going to do otherwise? Otherwise, you have a massive mound of bodies. And just 185,000 people just died. That literally, you know what that is? That is three soldier fields filled with people. Take all three soldier fields, take three of them all together, put all the people together, and then bury all of those people. It's amazing. Absolutely amazing. And that's if it was only 185,000. According to the measure, it says it was millions. How do you bury all those people? There's no way you could bury them. Yeah, what are you going to say, Benjamin?
You said Balayla, who also the Megillah. Balayla, who met Zeshah.
That's what they were all saying. That's what they kept saying for us. By the way, Pagarin Mason means there were Pagarin first, that they were like hit hard and they were dying, and then they were Mason, and then they were finally dead.
Doesn't a Pagar mean a corpse?
Yes, but it also means the dying form of a corpse. So Vayisa Vayelach Vayoshes Sanhedrin Melech Hashor Vayesh Beninbe. So we traveled. Sanhedrin traveled away. According to the Gemara, five men survived this war. Sanhedrin and his two sons, Nebuchadnezzar and Nebuzaradan. That's what the Gemara Sanhedrin says. He's the general who was sent against the Jews to destroy them. So they were the five people that survived.
Why then specifically? Why did the leaders, so to speak, survive?
At the time, Nebuchadnezzar and Nebuzaradan were not leaders, but they may have been somewhat tzaddikim over everybody else. I don't know. By the way, Sanherib returned by Yishuv in Ninveh, and he lived in Ninveh. The reason why he went to Ninveh is because he was afraid to go back to Assyria. Goes back to Assyria, all the princes that were just killed from all the other kingdoms, all the people come to him and say, what do you do with my son? He's afraid of going back because he's afraid of something. By Yehu Mishtachwa based Nisroch Elohav. So he's bowing down by Nisroch, his god. Now Nisroch was a board from the Teva. He believed that the board of the Teva would be able to help him or do something. Remember, Assyria is somewhat near Turkey, which is Hararus, near the area. That's where Ninveh is.
Ninveh is in northern Iraq.
That's what I meant. Yeah. No, Ninveh would have been around that area. I didn't even mean Assyria. But then Ninveh would have been that area. Ba'adar Melech Bisharetzer Bonov, he cool Bacharav. And at that moment, Adramelech and Saretzer, his sons, they killed him by the sword. They ran to the land of Ararat. And Esar Chadon, his son, not one of these, he took over the kingdom, and that's what ended up happening.
God just destroyed his entire army. After he mocked Hashem and everything, he really got it bad.
Yeah.
Now he's going to bow down to Nisro.
Yeah.
At this point, wouldn't he be like, Nisro obviously is not a very good God.
Yeah. Maybe he didn't worship Nisroch up until now, and that was his problem. He said, Nisroch! Maybe that was the issue. All of a sudden he's trying to do something.
At this point, would it be good to join God's side?
I would think so, but I'm not in charge of that. I will tell you that there's machlokas how they died. If they had burnt, everybody agrees that their bodies survived of all the people, the 185,000 people that were killed. But did their souls were burnt, or were their insides burned? And they just had the body on the outside. That's Machlokes in the Gemara, how they ended up dying in that way, and that's that. Rav Shakeh warned them. On that night, right, when he came, they came, and that was when, what's his name, when Sennacherib said, forget it, we're not going to fight them. That night was the night of Pesach. Rav Shakeh looked into Yerushalayim. What did he see? All the people were doing the Seder. They were all celebrating Pesach. He immediately turned to Sennacherib and said, this is the night of miracles. We got to get out of here right now. We're all going to die if we stay here. Sennacherib wouldn't leave, and Rav Shakeh, along with everybody else, they all died. Why did they all die wearing their clothes? Why did their bodies not burn whatsoever? Because in honor of shame, Ashur was one of the children of shame. He helped put the clothes on top of his father. Therefore, they were zocha to be able to have clothes on when they died over here. How were they killed? Some say it was by the great hand of Hashem. Others say they had the 10 plagues of Mitzrayim. Others say Gabriel came and helped and destroyed all of them. He was the Malach. Others say God blew into their nostrils and they died. Others say God clapped and they died. I don't know what these things mean, so you can't ask me that question. God clapped and they died. Others say he opened their ears and they heard the singing of the Malachim, and that's how they died. That's what ended up happening over here. At that point, that was the crazy stuff over here. What else? All the plunder was thus returned to Klal Yisrael. They were allowed to keep all the plunder that was taken even from the Beis HaMikdash and from the Malchus Yisrael, because the Jews had all been miyayishit completely. There were many Geri Toshavim that were formed from this, because a lot of people were there who did not die among the 185,000. It wasn't enough to have an army, but there were a lot of people there. Those Geri Toshavim were there. We already said there were 5 people there. The reason why his son killed him is because when Sennacherib went back, he was told by his gods or the priests that if he goes and sacrifices his 2 sons, like Avram sacrificed Yitzchak, then he would be successful the next time around to beat the Jews. They not only were worried, they knew they were going to be killed by their father, so they killed him first. And that's that.
Why would he want to kill 2 sons?
No. Everything's all good. Why what?
Why would he want to kill 2 sons?
Yeah, I'll do it even more than Avram Avinu. Exactly. Everyone says that it's possible that Sennacherib could have been Mohammed's Gogu Magog. And that means that Sennacherib would have been Gogu Magog. Sennacherib would have been Gogu Magog, and Hizkiah would have been Mashiach. And the problem was, says the Gemara, that he didn't sing Shira after this Mapela of Sennacherib. He sang before. That's when he made up that tefillah. This time he didn't sing the Shira. He didn't get up there and sing a song. The ground got up and tried to sing for him. I don't know what that means. But the ground said, I'll sing for him. Just bring Mashiach. And Hashem refused to accept it. And because of that, Mashiach didn't come at that moment. It should have come right then, had Hizkiah HaMelech gone ahead and sang the song. Unbelievable, right? That takes us to Parakoth. We'll stop with that, guys.